Day 1, Sunday, October 23, Genesis 1. Genesis 1 1-31 NKJV. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, Let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself, on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Daily Deep Dive, Book of Genesis Overview, originally when Moses, authorship, Mark 12:26, John 1:45, put together what would later be known as the first five books of the Bible. It was all one large unified scroll. Later it was separated in five individual books or what we know as Pentateuch, meaning five scrolls. It's also known in the Jewish community as the Torah, meaning instruction. We will now focus in on just the book of Genesis. Genesis, which means beginning, gets its name from the very first words of the book in the beginning, which is the Hebrew Reshith, meaning first in place, time, order or rank, beginning. It contains the beginning of many different things. The book of Genesis is organized into 11 sections, with each new section beginning with "This is the account of." All the events of Genesis took place long before Moses was even born, so how did he record these events? Certainly we know God was directly involved in inspiring Moses in his work, but the Bible also seems to indicate that there were other sources that Moses used in crafting Genesis together. Some of these documents appear to be named in the book of Genesis. For example, in Genesis 5:1, it states, "This is the book of the genealogy of Adam." This Hebrew word for book, sefer/sifra H 56:12, means writing, document, book. The Hebrew word for genealogy, Talita H 84:35, means birth, generations, history. Other examples can be found in Gen 2-4, 6-9, 11:10, 11:27, 25:12, 25:19, 37-2. These all might have been ancient documents containing source material that Moses later used. The Bible reading program of UCG states the different writing styles in each of these sections provides further evidence that they were written by different authors at different times and in different cultures. The conclusion of biblical scholars is that Moses lifted information from these sources and left them in their various different writing styles in order to maintain accuracy. It is believed that Moses wrote/compiled Genesis during the Israelites' 40 years of wandering. Now for today's deep dive into chapter 1 of Genesis. Verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. God is the Hebrew word Elohim. This is an important word. It's the plural form of El or Elo. By itself it means God/gods. But the UCG reading program commentary brings out the following that we should understand. Elohim is used to indicate both the true God and the false gods of human invention. However, when used to indicate the true God, the word Elohim, plural in form, is often, but not always, paired with a singular verb, seemingly contrary to the rules of grammar. For example, in English we would say, "they run," which would correctly follow the grammatical rule that the plural "they" be paired with the plural "run." But we would never say, "he run," for the rules of English grammar require that the singular pronoun "he" be paired with the singular verb "runs." In just the same way we would expect the plural noun Elohim to be paired with a plural verb. But that is not always the case when referring to the true God. In Genesis 1:1 we read, "In the beginning God created." While the word for God is Elohim, a plural noun, the word for created, bara, is singular in form. Why? We must remember that Elohim is often used as a name, viewed best as a family name. Another good illustration can be found in the national name, United States. In American English, this is a singular noun. Though plural in form, you would pair it with the singular verb is. For instance, the United States is involved in the conflict, rather than the United States are involved in the conflict. Of course, the question might be asked, why is this name plural in form? The answer is that it does represent a true plurality, as multiple states make up the country. Just the same, why is the name Elohim, though often singular in usage, plural in form? The reason is that it too represents a true plurality, more than one being making up the God family. But why, if Elohim is plural in form, do we refer to it in English by the singular form God? The answer is that in most cases the inspired Greek of the New Testament translates the word as theos, the singular form of the noun meaning God, and there definitely is a singular element to the God family. For the true God is a plurality in complete agreement and oneness of mind. Odd as it may sound, the Bible reveals that God is a family of spirit beings. Yet Jesus Christ himself emphasized this truth when he continually spoke of the Father, a separate divine being, and himself as the Son of God. This divine family of God always acts, thinks and speaks in complete unity. And perhaps that is what the Greek theos emphasizes. But that Elohim does in fact denote a plurality of divine beings is proven quite clearly elsewhere in Scripture, including two other verses in Genesis. Genesis 1:26 reads, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." The Hebrew is very clear, and the translation using us and our is precisely correct. God, Elohim, is a plurality, but some will point to Genesis 1:27 and note that it reads, "So God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them," using this to argue that God was only a single individual being. The simple scriptural explanation is that when it came to doing the creating, only one God being acted, the one who became Christ, Ephesians 3:9. He created man in his own image as Genesis 1:27 states. But since the one who became Christ is the very image of the Father, the statement of verse 26 is entirely correct. There is no contradiction between verses 26 and 27. But the clincher is Genesis 3:22. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us." There can be absolutely no confusing of the matter here. The phrase "one of us" can only mean that God is a plurality of beings. While there is one God, that God is a spirit family of divine beings, but a family without quarrel or schism, always acting in complete unison and harmony. Another really important principle to understand is found in verse 2. Starting with this creation week of Genesis 1 and continuing to modern day, we understand that there has been approximately 6,000 years of human existence. If scientists are correct in their dating, then how can we understand the dating of a much older universe than Earth? Verse 1 of the Bible clearly tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 then says, "The earth was without form, and void." The word "was" is the Hebrew Hayah H-1961, meaning to be, become, to come to pass. This word Hayah is extremely common, showing up in the Bible 3,502 times. Here are a few examples of this same word. Gen 1-3 "Then God said, let there be, H-1961, light, and there was light." Gen 2-7 "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became, H-1961, a living being." Gen 4-3 "And in the process of time it came to pass, H-1961, that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord." What we understand is it would be easy to translate V2 as "the earth became without form and void." That the earth was originally created different, but due to something that occurred, the earth was now in a different state than originally created. The words "without form and void" are the Hebrew tohu and bohu. Tohu means lie waste, desolate, and bohu means empty. The earth was in a state of lying waste and being empty. What could have occurred? Between verse 1 and 2 could have been the angelic rebellion led by Satan and involving a third of the angels. For a reminder of these events, please see Esau 14:12-14, 45:18, Ezra 28:12-15, Luke 10:18, and Rev 12:4. Another thing that I believe gives credence to the gap theory between verse 1 and 2 is the fact that we are never told in the 7 days of creation that God created water. It was just already there, and God's Spirit is moving over the water as he then begins to detail creation. It's also possible that the dating of scientists is off base due to components that they haven't factored into the equation. For example, what would the extra pressure from flood waters pressing down on the earth changed? Is it possible that the earth pre-flood had a different atmosphere and conditions when humans lived much longer on the earth, and that God changed those conditions after the flood, resulting in shorter lifespans and changes to how dating/half-lives are determined? I don't know. Faith is required to believe that God exists and that he did what he said he did. Notice it's God who defines how a day is formed. The evening and the morning, morrow, next day, were the first day. A day in God's time starts at sunset and goes through the next day light portion. Verse 14 says, "Then God said, let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years." It says to let them be for signs, Hebrew "oth" meaning sign, signal, a distinguishing mark, remembrance. The word "seasons," Hebrew moed/muada, H 41:50, meaning appointed time, meeting, appointment. God created cosmic signals that would let us know when we would have appointed meetings with our great God. In verse 26 we see God make man, Hebrew Adam meaning man/mankind, in their image and their likeness. They designed us to have dominion meaning to rule, to subjugate over the other life God created. In verse 27 it reads that both men and women, all of mankind, were created in God's image. We also read here that God created two unique sexes within mankind by His perfect design. This is not something that mankind can choose on their own, but is something God designed within His creation. In verse 28 God does something they hadn't done before. God blesses them, man and woman, and tell them to be fruitful and multiply, have children. We understand that God created marriage. Mark 10-6 But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Mark 10-7 For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Mark 10-8 And the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Mark 10-9 Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate. Marriage isn't something man created and designed. Therefore God is the only one with the right to define who can be married. Marriage by God's design is between male and female and He created this design to be able to replicate more children in their image. There is no other acceptable marriage or intimate relationship between people. Additionally, marriage was always designed to teach us about even more important covenant we make with God. Our baptism covenant with God is the greater type of the physical covenant we can make with a spouse. This is worth you spending considerable time thinking about how you honor this covenant with God. In verse 31 we see that at the end of the 6 days of creation that everything was very good. This is all that God created upon the earth and in heaven, but also in mankind, marriage, reproduction and family. It was designed to be very good. Since this time, Satan has set out to destroy and pervert everything that the God family created very good.